Those who tell you that Christianity is a crutch for the weak obviously have not tried living the Christian life, because it's not easy. In fact, it's very hard. Being a Christian means living a life of repentance. That means being aware of sin, experiencing guilt, despising your sin, and wanting to do better. The believer is aware of what God demands, along with knowing we don't meet those demands. And you've heard it said, just have faith, right? Just believe. Sounds easy. But anyone who's tried it knows having faith, believing and trusting in God's love and His mercy without a shred of doubt, is hard. The believer has the Spirit, yes, amen. But the believer also has the flesh. And the flesh tries to drag us from God to do sins we shouldn't. And when we sin, friends, sometimes they feel pretty good. Sometimes we feel good when we finally tell off our neighbor who has been getting under our skin. It can feel pretty good to be lazy. Let someone else do the work. It can feel good sometimes to gossip because you know something. Your neighbor doesn't. It can feel good to get your hands on a large pile of money because now you can finally buy what you have been looking for. It can feel pretty good when you gaze at forbidden objects behind a spouse's back. Sinning can feel good for a little while until, by the grace of God, His law begins to do its work. His word cuts, slices, shows you what you did. Not only is it wrong, your sin, but if left unchecked, it can drag you out of God's kingdom. Fighting these feelings, fighting these emotions that stir us to sin, while we think they'll give us some pleasure, some joy, fighting this stuff is hard, Christian. We fail. And the pagan knows nothing about it. The unbeliever who sits back and scoffs at the Christian has no idea, no awareness of how hard it is to take up the fight against temptation. The reason is they have no faith. They care nothing about God's word, but they live to gratify the desires of the flesh. If it feels good, hey, do it. If it makes you happy, do it. Such is how the pagan thinks, and that is very different from the baptized believer, one who has been given the perception to know good from evil, right from wrong, God's wisdom from the wisdom of the world. The Christian life, living as one who is repentant and a daily recipient of God's love and mercy, is anything but easy. Because we battle our flesh. And we struggle with sin every day. The world is filled with unbelievers, this we know. And they mock and ridicule our Christ. But furthermore, we also have our own sin to deal with, and we realize we cannot earn God's favor by our works. And so it is part of being a Christian that we hunger and thirst for a solution to the problem. It's part of being a Christian that you look for righteousness precisely because you cannot find it within yourself. We hunger and thirst for that food that doesn't perish, the well of water that never goes dry, for the cravings of righteousness, for your desire for healing from the sickness of sin. Jesus testifies to us in John's Gospel that He is the source of living water. He is the food that never perishes. The food that when consumed, the eater is sustained unto eternity. It is by faith we feed on Jesus. His body, His blood, and His word. Christ feeds us Himself. The food of immortality, satisfying our cravings for healing and forgiveness, salvation leading to that life God has in store for you, life without sickness, persecution, life without fear, anxiety, life without old age, decrepit bodies, life without death. This, friends, Jesus has secured for you, and it belongs to you by faith in him. Now, you've probably heard the Latin phrase, simul justus et peccator. And all that means is simultaneously saint and sinner. That's all that means, saint and sinner at the same time. It means you live justified by God. God declares you righteous. And that declaration comes to you even while you battle and are corrupted by your flesh. God calls you forgiven because your sins, though many, have been taken up by Jesus, and he has purified and cleansed you so that you stand in holiness and innocence before your God. We live in this reality, this simul justus et peccator, this simultaneously saint and sinner. That is how the baptized live. That is how we walk until that day God will bring us to himself, that day when he will take us to be in his presence, when then, yes, then, we will finally experience the joy of sins forgiven, life without having to deal with all those dreaded symptoms of sin that you know about all too well. Why do you have this gift? Simple. God loves you. Furthermore, we see that love in the gospel lesson tonight. The words, I thirst, and in the words, it is finished. Now, there are varying opinions on what Jesus meant when he says, I thirst. Some say, Jesus was just thirsty. He says, I thirst. Let's just leave it at that. Not hard to understand. Anybody suffering from crucifixion indeed would be thirsty. Luther goes a little deeper. Luther says these words of Jesus, I thirst, refer to the psalmist. The psalmist who says this, quote, they gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. That's Luther's take. The concordance of my Greek New Testament, a concordance just tells you other passages in the Old and New Testament that correspond to the current passage you're reading. That's all it is. It referred me to Psalm 63, verse 1, that says this, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's Psalm 63, 1. So when you look at these psalms, it's difficult to hear Jesus say, I thirst, and think he's only talking about physical drink. But it gets even better than that. If you go through John's gospel, we hear this from the words of Jesus who says, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus seeks to do the will of his Father. He's an obedient son. He's a humble servant who performs the duties of the law, and he receives punishment for sin. Christ will willingly take down the cup of wrath poured out on him by the Father for your sin and my sin. Jesus is thirsty to do this. He is thirsty to do the Father's work and fulfill what was prophesied all the way back in Genesis 3:15, the crushing of the serpent's head. Jesus thirsts to do this work, to put himself under the law, to take on God's wrath for sin. And by doing that, you're off the hook. The punishment for transgression has fallen upon Jesus, and now you can consider yourself freely purchased, bought from sin, death, even the devil. This is why your sins are not held against you, Christian, because Jesus thirsted to take your sin and make you innocent. Yes, we hunger and we thirst for righteousness because our sins are still those which we battle daily. But I want to remind you something. In your struggles, in your battles with temptation, as you live your life in that simul justus et peccator, again, saint and sinner, as you live in that reality, when you go through days when you want to cry out and say, God, why does it have to be so hard? God, do I still have my sanity? When you go through moments like these, Please remember the words. Hear the words of your Savior Jesus, who says unto you from the cross, right before he yields his spirit, he says to you, "It is finished." It's a tiny pronoun, that word "it," but it refers to God's entire plan of redemption. Saving creation, saving humanity, it is finished. And it has been finished by Jesus. The one who thirsts to make you his own, he has done it. It's finished. Yes, the Christian life is hard, but in these words we find consolation, and these words remind us that as you labor, as you work, as you live this life, you do so forgiven, and your salvation is finished. The purchasing has been done, salvation accomplished. You belong to your God and Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't hold your head down in shame. Repent and confess your sins, knowing the job is done, the work complete, salvation secured by Jesus. This is yours now. It is yours while we wait. We look forward to that time when God takes us to be with himself, and that will come. That day will come, ultimately, because Christ thirsted for you, and he has finished redemption for you. So let us pray that God keeps us faithful to this word, that he keeps us in his church. So when the trials come, when the temptations strike us, let us pray that God reminds us of all that he has done, that he keeps us secure in the faith, holding on to his word, holding on to his promise, that when it comes to your salvation and life eternal, friends, our Lord declares unto you every day, it is finished. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.